day. Now, if you've been a Christian for a while, you will find this little exchange with Jesus quite familiar. Okay. But I'm hoping to tease out some things which are really relevant to us going forward. So, firstly, over this past week, and really over the past few weeks, I've been thinking about sort of our church now. And it's funny that the way in which you might personally relate to your church. So for a while before I came here, it was, well, I'm going to Worcester Baptist Church. I would name it. And then I might be going, I'm going to a new church. And where's that new church? Worcester Baptist Church. But I don't think it wasn't a possessive at that point. I wasn't saying our church or my church. But think for a moment how you think of this church. Do you think of it as our church, my church? Do you think of it Worcester Baptist Church? Is it a church you're getting to know, but perhaps you wouldn't call it my church or our church just yet? It's an interesting dynamic, actually. In some respects, it can be really healthy because it talks of sense of belonging. But we know that there's sort of work done on the life cycle of the churches, and that the more you think it's my church, you can turn into sort of Tolkien's character from Lord of the Rings. You can turn a bit Gollum, and it's my precious, and you can be, oh, you don't want to. This is my church, and you don't change anything here because it's people can get very possessive of the way life works in church. So you do sort of have to be careful with that. And it is, it's you want you do some ways in which you relate to God. You like the routine and the way of coming together and how you relate to God. But the moment that it becomes too tight, Jesus does remind us, as we will go on to say, you've got to let that go a bit. And I do know the extremes. So I know a Baptist church who had a split over the fact that one Sunday morning they moved the piano 3 foot. So clearly it was a bit like a game of Buckaroo. It was the final bit that, there's stuff that would have gone on behind the scenes with that. But yes, one Sunday morning I was told they moved it from there to here, and that was it. So absolutely unbelievable. So we don't want to be a church that is everything like God, all precious. Okay, let's spend a bit of time with the reading now. And I don't know, I came to this and I thought it was a bit like a quiz moment, a very deep quiz moment. So bear with me on this here. I felt like sort of like Jesus was the quiz master here. And he goes, so who do you think I am? Is it John the Baptist? Is it Elijah? Is it yes, John the Baptist, Elijah, Jeremiah, some of the other prophets, or am I the Messiah, son of the living God? And it's like, at this point, people are, Peter's wondering, he's looking out to the audience, son of the living God, John the Baptist. And then he goes, I think you are the Messiah, the son of the living God. And in a Who Wants to Be a Millionaire type of pause, and then doodle-doo, you're right. You are right, Peter. And goes, what? When I read this, and it was great to hear it go from Barbara this morning, I do get that genuine sense that Jesus was actually really impressed with that moment. It's one of those things that it's quite difficult. It's one of the mysteries of Christianity, the incarnation, God in Jesus, Jesus in God. And so you can either fall on one side or the other. There's a very thin line to try and, but sometimes you just have to think. You get that sense that Jesus might not have been expecting that from Peter, and the way that he confidently said that. And Jesus goes, yeah, wow, you must have been told that by the Father in heaven. And so Jesus is going, brilliant. On this rock, I will build his church. It's interesting. Peter is a character I'm hoping we can all relate to, because Peter gets it spectacularly right. He also gets it spectacularly wrong at various points. He's a very believable person, a very believable follower of Jesus. It's a bit like when we've just mentioned in communion, he was the one to deny Jesus 3 times. So it's all of those things. So it's one of those. Peter is a really helpful character, and in terms of the church and following that moment, we know that as we move into the book of Acts and the early church, he ends up going really tight. He doesn't really understand that this is the, so he and Paul, of course, Paul's out there going, hey, I want to tell you about Jesus. Let's set up a church. Hey, we're going to tell you about Jesus. Let's set up a church. He was going around because he really got, when he'd had his road to Damascus experience, he knew that Jesus was for everybody. This wasn't now just God, the people that God had walked with to that moment, which is a really important point to sort of remember there, that yeah, Peter ended up being really now, and those that know that bit in the Bible, Peter had to be told in no uncertain terms in a dream that in fact God tells to him directly, you know, what you think is unclean that I've made clean, you know, you've got to trust me on this. And that was Peter's revelation after that. But prior to that, he was quite happy to be a quite a small little Jewish sect carrying on and not take the word of God to the Gentiles like Paul was. So yeah, you can sort of see how what I said to begin with, what Paul did, Peter did, all of those things. So moving on, and you can just don't overthink this. Shout some responses back to me here. What does a church look like when Jesus is genuinely at the center? So there's people here that have been in this church for many years, who are, I'm looking at Don here, our great elder here. But what are the ways in which you recognize Jesus as at the center of the church? What's the first thing that pops into your head? Shout it out. I won't look up. Diversity. Love.
Church is wherever you go. It's Jesus. It's with you wherever you are.
Oh, that's good. That's very good, Sean. Thank you. Life changing. And what was the other one I didn't quite hear then? Forgiveness. Yeah. Caring. Yeah. I agree. Supportive. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, they're really good words. Yes, they're really good words. One thing that Jesus doesn't ask us to do, he doesn't ask the minister or the deacons or church members to go and build his church. Jesus said, "Build, I will build my church." Okay. Okay, there's a bit of a tension that you have to tease out here. So I'm a great Teresa of Avila fan, you know, Jesus has no hands and feet, but you know, ours. So we do sort of have to do the work because Jesus isn't incarnated currently, but Jesus is still saying, I will build my church. So again, we have to try and work that out. That was what I was saying yesterday, where we try and discern the mind of Christ, and that can be quite tricky. So being a Christian is quite challenging. As we try and tease out the way in which Jesus is building his church through us, okay, what he doesn't do is give us a flat pack furniture set of instructions and tells you to go on. So I think the picture that Elaine's just put should be well, it's a bit faint there, but that's an IKEA day bed. Anybody else here got the IKEA day? Okay, yeah, Joe, Katie, okay. Now, Katie and Joe will relate to this then now because, we've had ours for just over 10 years, and it was when we moved into when I was working for the BU. And for about 6 months, I was living on my own half the week in the house that we were living in. And then we decided on the day bed. It arrived. It does say very clearly in the instructions you need at least two people because the thing's enormous, very heavy. But nevertheless, on my own, I dragged this thing up around the stairs into the room that we were doing it. And then, yes, on my own, I put together, and this thing is, well, if it was a Lego set, it would be like 10,000 pieces, 18 plus. It took me hours and hours and evenings on my own because, of course, parts were really heavy, and you're trying to one thing, you leg one there, and the whole thing is really tricky. And then, yeah, then interestingly, following that 10 years, we did live in that room for a while, and then we decided, as you do, we dismantle it, and it needed to go to the top floor of the house, so I dismantled it. Took it to the top and then tried to take it down again. And then end of July, dismantle it again because we were moving house. And then Lisa did wonder why it took so long. Because then when my dad, for those that met my dad yesterday, he came along and I said, I've got one job for you. We've got to try and put together the IKEA day bed again. Sorry, it is back up in our bedroom. But again, it took us 2 hours And I was trying to get the instructions online, and we're looking at that. And no matter what you do with IKEA stuff, it looks like you've done it right. It looks easy. And then you realize you've done it the wrong way round, and that means you're undoing it all the way back. And I think it is a really good metaphor for this. And Jesus doesn't do that. Jesus doesn't say, right, here's all the answers. You go away and follow this instruction manual and try and build it. He's there sort of every step of the way. And these are the, and this is and it is it's how we actually sort of walk with Jesus. And again, it's sort of following a nuance and a fine line here, really. Jesus asks us to participate with him, and it's about sort of recognizing where Jesus is at, and you participate with him. We aren't owners. We are not owners of that thing. So it's not as if he gives us something that then we own, and that's it. But he asks us to participate with him as he builds his church. And then he doesn't ask us either to be spectators. He doesn't ask us just to sit back. And at the same time, he doesn't ask us to be saviors either. So again, this sort of it gives us a space, but it's trying to work out where that is. So yeah, participate. We've got to take part, so we aren't spectators, and neither are we called to be, yeah, the saviour. Jesus is the saviour. So what kind of church does Jesus want to go on and build? And what kind of church might he be continuing to try and build here? You've got a church that perhaps where people genuinely feel that they belong. And you know, that's it. It was very important to us as we discerned, and Barbara and I spoke about that earlier. And clearly, people who have been here a super long time, looking again at Don, that sense of belonging, a sense where people, everybody is valued, from the youngest to the oldest, whether you're from here, from out of here, wherever you are somebody that you are very welcomed, and are genuinely valued. A church that values the difference within that space, but is nevertheless inclusive of all people. A place that serves, that serves and gives, a way in which it looks outward to others and serves and gives in different ways. And then you've already got as one of the values here to be sort of risk-taking for Jesus as well. How do we become risk takers? Not just sat here being comfortable in the space. So the way in which you can go beyond the four walls. Now, one of those things is, and it is quite hard to, back to the question I did during the all age, what is a church? And it is really hard when you're sat in a beautiful old listed building like this to not think of the building first. Now, of course, the building is a fabric. It is a space. It's a And a way I will try and help us all go forward, going as we start this new season, is that certainly Sunday mornings are, I'd love to be an oasis of God's presence for us all. But it's that sense that at the end, our worship has ended and our service begins, is that this has helped to help us in all of the different spaces and places in which we go from here to actually then go and serve Jesus. And that will be in a whole multitude. I'm getting to know a few of you, and you do lots of different things, and you're all at different times of life. So we then get forward onto sort of three questions going on here for us to sort of reflect on. And I'm hoping you can see we're sort of building on this through the morning. What does it mean to have Jesus at the centre? We've already had some really good words shared. So continue to think about that personally as you go from here. What does it mean for, do we allow Jesus to surprise us? And those are those sort of, sometimes can be those really Holy Spirit moments where, yeah, you plan things long and hard, but then something unexpected happens. Are we ready to be surprised with Jesus? And then I think it's about you then look at yourself in the mirror at that point and then says, well, what is Jesus asking of you at this point? And clearly, we're in a church, and out of all the things that we've been talking about, we're a church that, all churches are good churches with Jesus at the center, needs people who can pray, listen, who can cook, who can do the gift of administration. I've got to know Deb very well over the past few weeks. She definitely has the gift of administration. So does Susanna and don't hope. Yes, you have. We need people with lots of sort of gifts. But there's also what came out of the conversation this morning. This isn't about for those that are already doing a lot. This is about actually saying, what is Jesus asking of you now? And he might be saying, put something down that you might have been doing for a really long time, and you might think you're the best at it. Or others might think you're the best at it, and they come to you first for this. But sometimes seasons comes to an end for things. Also, Jesus might be asking you to do something that you've got absolutely no clue about how to do yet. You might need to go into a season training of teaching before you then go forward. That was very much the case for what I shared yesterday during my sort of big thank you. And that's it. This is something that started over 20 years ago. Yeah, for those that weren't here yesterday. Yeah, that's it. Lisa and I do need, well, we didn't go and start going to church properly till 2003. And yes, I wouldn't have called myself Christian until we were baptized together in 2004. That's when I felt a call to ministry. I'd only just been going to church 5 minutes. Of course, I didn't know how to be a minister. I didn't know anything. But I had a beautiful church that walked with me and prepared me over those couple of years to experience all areas of church life, to prepare me for that. So I know what it's like to go from knowing absolutely not a call, knowing absolutely nothing about it, and really not being equipped. I was terrified at talking in public. And during those first early sermons, I would literally nearly faint. I would see the stars. I'd stand holding onto the lectern because otherwise I'd fall off. And I'd have to script my sermon so much. I'd have to be putting commas and pauses, breathe, all of those sorts of things. So I had to work really hard at those things. And it's a lifelong thing. But it's just to sort of say that, yeah, it's the case that Jesus, it's not necessarily you've got a part to play. It's what part Jesus is asking you to do. And that might be a different part to what you have been doing, or it might be a part that actually might take you many, many years. So I'm looking at Peter. You've been a Baptist minister. I don't know what your story is when you're calling into ministry, but all of these things, wherever we are called and whatever part Jesus is having to play, you might think, there's something I've really liked doing. Now, one of the things, because Joel and Evie leading our worship this morning, and obviously fantastic worship yesterday. I would love one day to think God might call me into sort of learning an instrument. I definitely can't sing at the moment, but at least Lisa and I've worked out that I can dance a bit. So that's like a first step over the last few years. I can do a bit of Latin and ballroom now, we were reflecting, weren't we? The process of learning has got a lot quicker. And you get a bit more confident with it. So that, yeah, if there's one area in my life I'd love to think about going forward, could I learn an instrument? Could. And at this point, I think I could never learn to sing. So I feel like I literally am terrible, terrible at singing. But so those are things. So sometimes God may, well, and be asking you a same thing, maybe asking you a part, which you think, no, silly. That's not God asking me. That's just a silly idea. But sometimes the silly ideas are of God, and that's where we come together as church to discern those things. So you'll be glad to know, coming here, this the first official Sunday. I'm not here to build Mike's church at all. This isn't about Mike's church. This is helping us to participate in the church that Jesus is building here. And we've got to go out. We've got to listen. I think Gemma said yesterday, it's that whole thing of remembering that we've got two ears and one mouth, and to use them proportionately. So sometimes we do have to go out and listen. And I know everybody here, like I say, you're all in different spaces and places during your week and your life. Listen to the spaces and think, oh, that's amazing. I think Jesus is over there, and it might be in an unexpected place. One of my favorite bits of the Bible is when Jesus sends out the 70, the 72, and he says, don't take anything with you, accept off hospitality off others. and literally just go out there and see where I'm already at work. And that's a challenge because it means we have to go out to the four walls of the church building and we have to go and spot things. And I think that's when we start to understand that's the exciting bit, and that's the bit that I think that excites me and hopefully will excite you. Jesus has sort of got the blueprint, and it's not about what we're going to change really. It's how Jesus is changing us and what he's building and asking us to participate in going forward. And I do hope that together we can start to sort of explore all of that together. The whole of this sort of season now up to Christmas, right up to Christmas, and including the last service, I've spent a lot of time thinking about these opening 4 months, about how we think about the church that Jesus is wanting us to become. And I'm hoping you're ready for that journey to go out and listen, to think that, yeah, there are certain things which, of course, will remain the same, and I'm not here to change it. Like I say, not here to make Mike's church, but think about that part that Jesus is asking you to play and for us all to walk together. I've got a prayer just for us to listen, and there's a responsive part just at the end there. So, this is your church, Jesus. Show us what you are building. Open our eyes to where you are already at work. Give us courage to follow. Give us humility to listen. Give us generosity to share. Give us imagination to try new things. And let's say together, build your church among us, Jesus. Amen. Hand back to Joel now, who will lead us in our final song of worship.